Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In the new play, The Lifespan of a Fact, a determined young fact-checker is about to stir up trouble. The demanding editor has given him a big assignment: apply his skill to a groundbreaking piece by an unorthodox author. Together, they take on the high-stakes world of publishing in this new comedy about conflict. The Lifespan of a Fact is currently in previews at Studio 54 on Broadway, starring Daniel Radcliffe, Cherry Jones, and Bobby Cannavale. It opens on October 18th. Our next guest, Lee Silverman, directs. The Tony-nominated director's previous Broadway credits include Violet and Chinglish. She's a highly sought-after and acclaimed regional and off-Broadway director as well. Lee Silverman, welcome to the Roundtable.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So first things first, tell me what you can. I'm sure we don't want to spoil anything, of course, but tell me what you will about the plot of this new play, The Lifespan of a Fact.
Well, Lifespan of a Fact is about an article that is being written by an author named John DeGatta, played by Bobby Cannavale, and it is being fact-checked by Jim Fingle, played by Daniel Radcliffe, and there's an editor, Cherry Jones, who is trying to get this thing published. And one of the great and fun things about this play, I think, is that all three characters want exactly the same thing. They all love the article, and they all want it to get published, and yet they all want something different with it being published. And it what sort of ensues is a really heady, funny argument that ultimately, I think, lands us in a very complicated place about what tells a better story. Is it fact or is it accuracy? And what is the difference between truth and accuracy? And that question, I think, is one that is so wildly relevant right now. And I think we handle the subject matter in a way that is both really delightful, but also quite thought-provoking.
I'm sure. How do you come to direct this play for Broadway?
I got sent the play. I was told that Daniel was really interested in creating his first kind of originating a role on Broadway in a new play, which was something he had never done.
That's Daniel Radcliffe, you just mentioned.
He and I met. I read the play. I read the book that the play was originally based on, and I thought, this is really fun, juicy material to get involved with. And I was excited about the prospect of working with Daniel. And then Cherry and Bobby came on board, and it was like the greatest rehearsal room ever. I mean, just having the chance to mind meld with those three is quite an extraordinary event.
What are we seeing from them, if anything, that is different from what we've seen from them before? I know it's kind of a broad question, and they're three very different performers, but is there new muscles being stretched by each of them in this piece?
I think for all three of them, it's really different. I think Bobby usually plays the tough, like he really plays the, the kind of like, I think because of his size and, he's mostly typecast not as like the brainy intellect. And in this case, he really is playing a kind of bleeding heart, passionate writer. Daniel is really originating a role that so that's really new for him. It's a new experience working on a new play altogether. And Cherry said to me just the other day that she's never been in a comedy, which I found shocking because I think of Cherry as being, of course, one of the greatest of the greats. And so she's, I think we see her in a completely, to my mind, surprisingly different way than we've seen her before. And because the play walks the kind of line between being a pretty out-and-out comedy and being a pretty thoughtful drama, the way that the three of them are able to traverse the tone and style of the piece feels pretty dazzling.
You mentioned that Daniel wanted to originate the role, and the script came to you sort of via that route. How do you then cast or get to cast Cherry Jones and Bobby Cannavale?
I mean, I just asked them. It was such a, truly like I felt like I had won the lottery or something. I mean, Cherry and Bobby and I have known each other and have worked together in smaller readings and over the years, but we've never had the chance to work on a show together. And they've always wanted to do a show together. So it was really, it was just fortune, really good fortune for me.
You also mentioned that the show is, of course, applicable to, I mean, any good piece of theater, you can find something in it that applies to the time you're living in. But this matters a lot right now.
Yes.
What is it like to to have to explore that through the work as you're working on it?
Well, I think the play is an amazing meditation on the subject of fact, truth, and accuracy. I think the play functions most successfully when the audience feels completely in one camp and then completely in the other. And I think it is, I mean, particularly this week, right now, I mean, it sort of seemed relevant when we started, and then after Dr. Ford's testimony, I mean, the whole idea of what makes something true, is it an exact date or is it a feeling? There is nothing more relevant than that right now in our country, in our culture. And so to be exploring that on stage, of course, about a wildly different subject matter, it feels quite exhilarating, I think, to sit in a room on Broadway with an audience grappling with a topic that I think we all can't stop circling around in our own brains every day.
Can you tell me about the three playwrights and how they have come together to make this show, to write the show?
Yeah, I did not know them at all. They were the original producer of this show, Norman Twain, had read the book that was called Lifespan of a Fact, which was essentially a published version of the correspondences back and forth between John DeGatta and Jim Fingal. It's an amazing book, and the way it's laid out on the page, the essays in the middle with Jim's annotations around the outside. And Norman read that book and got really excited about it, and he commissioned two writers to work on it, and then a third writer was brought in. And then Norman, as he was in development with these writers, he passed away, unfortunately. And then the project got brought to Jeffrey Richards, and Jeffrey got very excited about it. And together with Norman's widow, Dee Twain, they decided that this was the time. And they brought the project to Daniel, and it's been exciting to continue to work on that original vision and to then shape it and mold it, as you do in all new plays, to the three extraordinary performances at the heart of it.
As we're speaking, you are in previews. What has the audience response been, and how much is the show still changing?
Well, we're putting in a couple new lines today. We have a kind of a new technical element that's being adjusted today. I like to use my time in rehearsal during previews very rigorously. We really take the information we're getting from the audience about both what's funny, what's working, what's not working. I think it's really important as the director to use these previews to take an honest and rigorous look at what the material is and continue to work on it. And the great thing about these three actors is that they are so game for changes we throw at them and new things to explore. It's been a very exciting process of making the play, and they love being in rehearsal. So it's been really exciting to work on.
What feedback do you get from the audience in previews?
Oh, I mean, it's been thrilling. I mean, it's been really thrilling. I think people find it incredibly funny, very, very entertaining, and hopefully quite moving at the end and thought-provoking. I think it has, the structure of the play is successful in both the setup and the payoff of these three characters. And because the play is a polemic, it's an argument about this subject, which is, how do you tell this story the best? And really, we just circle that question over and over again. The question gets deeper and more complicated and more confusing and more hilarious as we take the subject more and more and more seriously. And so it's quite a thrilling ride, ultimately. And I think people are surprised about where it goes and how deep it goes.
The play is running on Broadway at Studio 54 through January 13th. It's a strictly limited engagement. Do you like having an end of the run, or does that make a difference to you as you prepare?
Oh,
That's such an interesting question. You know, for a director, basically our job is over opening night. You kind of work yourself out of a job. So in a way, you go from being at the beginning of a process, the person who knows the most information, you know how the design is going to look and function, you know where you want the performances to go, you know where you want the script to go, you know what changes you want to implement. You have all that information in your head. And by the time you get to opening, you kind of know the least. I don't know what's happening backstage. I'm not sure how the magic is happening every night. The performances are, they know more about their characters and how they work and how they function on a day-to-day basis than I do. And so I feel probably something like parenting, which is that you feel quite happy and relieved that the show is out in the world, and also a little sad that you're no longer required in the day-to-day work. But in terms of an end date, I think it's just it feels like it makes this really feel like a happening, because there's a very limited amount of time to see these three people do this incredible thing every night. And I think an end date only makes it that much more important that people not delay.
You mentioned working yourself out of a job, and I know that you are deeply involved in this right now. Do you know what is next?
Yes, I am doing a play at the Public Theater called Wild Goose Dreams, which is a co-production with the La Jolla Playhouse. It's a play I did last year in La Jolla. And we start previews in New York at the Public Theater at the end of October. I believe Halloween is actually our first preview. And that'll run through mid-December at the Public Theater. I jump right into the next.
When you've directed something at La Jolla and then it comes to New York, or when you direct something more generally, one place, and then it goes away for a little while and then comes back somewhere else, how do you work on it? How do you reapproach it? How do you reopen the book when you begin mounting it again?
Oh, I feel so grateful for opportunities to do shows a second time. Always when you're working in theater, it's like you're groping around in the dark trying to find the best way to tell a story, the most theatrical way, the most surprising way, the most engrossing way. And so it takes a long time, particularly in new plays where you don't know what the end target is. And I frequently feel like it's like archery at night in the dark with no lights. Like it's like you're just sort of like you're shooting arrows hoping for a target. And when you're lucky enough to get even close to that and have the opportunity to do the show a second time and you know where you're headed, you're able to make a whole different set of choices. And I think if you feel nimble enough and adventurous enough, you can really relook at the whole process. And in this case of Wild Goose Dreams, we have a almost entirely different design team. 9 out of the 10 actors are different. It's a really brand new production and a brand new look at a piece that I've been in development on for many years and have, so I feel very close to it. And at the same time, it feels brand new, which I like that feeling very much, which is that I know where we're headed and simultaneously still am full of questions about how to get there.
You just mentioned the design team. Do you, as a director, have an input with whoever's producing whatever show you're directing on the design team? Do you get to pick who you'll work with on that element of the piece?
Yes, the design team is entirely my decision. Certainly, I collaborate with theaters and producers about people that they like and are interested in. I'm very proud of the fact that in Lifespan of a Fact, we have the first all-female design team on Broadway. That's actually never happened before. Our set designer, lighting designer, costume designer, projection designer, they're all sound designer, they're all female, which I couldn't believe it when I found out that we were the first. I felt like in 2018 that had to have happened before, but
right.
No.
Right.
So I'm very proud of that. I actually picked them because I was excited to mind meld with them on this play, not because I thought it was going to be historic. So that is really something that I'm very proud of and excited about. And yes, you know, the designers that I pick frequently, I'm looking for, like with actors, I'm looking for people who have the right chemistry together, whose style and aesthetic feels right for the play. Also, designers are for me very much thought partners. They are the people that I actually bring the play to before the actors even get involved. So how we're going to tell the story, what it's going to look like and feel like, sound like, all of those decisions get made before we even get into the room with the actors. So my designers are deep collaborators, and I've had the great privilege of working with some incredible designers who have actually truly changed and shaped the way that shows that I've directed get done.
The Lifespan of a Fact is currently in previews at Studio 54 on Broadway, starring Daniel Radcliffe, Cherry Jones, and Bobby Cannavale. It opens on October 18th and is directed by our guest, Lee Silverman. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.